Skip down to item 16, request for public hearing, shellfish restrictions. Dr. Wesson.
Good afternoon. For those of you that have been on the commission for a while, you know that we've, for the past several years, staff's been working with the Department of Shellfish Sanitation and industry to implement harvest regulations during the warm water months, which is May through September, to protect public health from the naturally occurring bacteria in raw shellfish. And we've implemented a lot of changes, a lot of things people have to do with their harvest to get it onto ice very quickly or in refrigeration. And we were trying to do it to avoid our second case of Vibrio vulnificus for this to be given to the state. Unfortunately, in September, we had our second case. And I'm going to start this, but I'm going to let Dr. Bob Krunenberg talk about that case and what its implications are. Then we'll talk about what we're going to do with the regulatory amendments that we're going to be advertising. So Dr. Krunenberg's here from Shellfish Sanitation.
Dr. Krunenberg, how you doing, Bob? Good to see you.
Thank you. Oh, it's nice to see you, and congratulations. Thank you. Jim asked me to go ahead and talk about the second case of Vibrio vulnificus. Just Vibrios are, like Jim said, naturally occurring bacteria that occur in our estuary. They grow more as waters get warmer, and it's important to remember that when shellfish are taken out of the water, that they are no longer pumping some through, so they really elevate in concentrations. When an oyster is either left on exposed on a tidal flat or taken out by a harvester, they greatly increase in concentrations, and even more rapidly as it gets warmer. There are really two kinds of Vibrios that we're primarily concerned with in our waters, Vibrio parahemolyticus, which causes diarrhea, gastroenteritis, and if the toxic strain is present, then people can get sick from it. Generally, it's not present. We eat them when we eat raw oysters, and they don't make us sick. The other one that's in there is called Vibrio vulnificus. That also grows to these high numbers. It does not make most of us sick. But people that are immunocompromised, diabetics, people with high iron levels are significantly more susceptible to illness from those bacteria. But there are not very many of them nationally. I mean, not very many people that get this illness, somewhere between 15 and 45 a year on average. If you do catch it, if you do succumb to this bacteria due to eating shellfish, you can get a cut and you probably won't get so sick. But if you get it from eating shellfish, about half the people die, and they die very quickly, and it's a horrible death, losing limbs and skin. And so it's caused a lot of concern nationally. And as a result, the FDA and the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference, everybody that's involved, health people, are responding to the public concern about this bacteria. States that have two or more cases of this disease have to implement significantly more stringent harvesting and time to temperature requirements, and that's why we're working on these regulations. So we had our first case came from the James River in 2006, June of 2006. Our second case came from the Ocamico River. It was harvested. The oysters were harvested in September. They were shipped to the Delaware dealer, and the Delaware dealer shipped the bushel to a restaurant in Delaware. A man who was severely sick ate one oyster. His wife got a plate of raw oysters. He ate one. He contracted Vibrio vulnificus. He didn't die. And it took a while. It has taken a long time for that case to come to light. We really didn't know about it until about the middle of January. And so the person came from Maryland, traveled. He and his wife traveled to Delaware, ate in that Delaware restaurant. And so the Delaware Health Department inspected the restaurant, and the Delaware Shellfish Program inspected the dealer. The dealer had records to show who he had bought oysters from, but they weren't really as good as I would have liked to have seen, but they met the requirements under the National Shellfish Sanitation Program. And that case was then had to go to the Illness Review Committee of the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference, and they decided on whether it would be accepted or not. And the Interstate Board of the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference then had to accept the recommendation of this committee. So all of that didn't come into place until about the middle of March. And so all of a sudden, we found out in January, we didn't really know how the case may go. In the middle of March, we learned that, yes, we really do have the second case, and we had to meet these new requirements. So that's why there's such a push here, such a rapid push at the end. And I just want to say, I think a lot of people feel like FDA is pushing so hard on this. Really, these requirements, they are. FDA is pushing hard, but these requirements come from the Interstate Shellfish Sanitation Conference, of which all the shellfish-producing states are members, the industry are members, and FDA and other federal agencies are members. So this group are the people that have actually voted on these changes, and these changes are not what FDA wants. What FDA wants, as you probably heard, is they want post-harvest processing. They want to kill all the Vibrio almost all the Vibrio in shellfish, particularly oysters, before they're sold. So as rough as these requirements are, they aren't as tough as what FDA really wants. They want oysters to be irradiated or frozen and held or to go through a warm water pasteurization. And there's a possibility that high salinity might be able to kill these or reduce the Vibrios enough, but that has not been shown yet. So we don't have that as an option in the state.
And questions for Dr. Kunenberg's?
Yes, sir. I have a couple questions. So all these were the two oysters where we had the incidence of Vibrio vulnificus, they are native, non-cultured oysters, correct?
Correct. They're native. I don't know what you might mean by culture.
They're not grown. They're not aquaculture oysters.
Well, the ones from the James were came up from shell on bottom oysters.
Shell on bottom. Mm-hmm.
Those from the Ocamico may have been spat on shell. I don't know. I don't know where they were or not.
Dr. Kunenberg.
Then I have a follow-up question.
We spoke last time you were here about the incidents seem much greater on Bayside than Seaside because of the salinity. And we also talked about the fact that nitrogen and Vibrio, the incidence goes up. Is the health department ever going to begin some type of, when we talk about review of creeks and methods by which we say a creek is damaged or not damaged by wastewater treatments, et cetera, and Vibrio. Are we going to be talking about that ever in the future together? Because it seems that if we introduce wastewater into creeks and bays, we increase nitrogen, increase the risk of Vibrio. Are we ever going to put those two pieces together as well? I mean, it seems to me that we're asking the harvesters to pay a price for something that's in the water, not of their fault.
Well, there has been work done by very good algologists, and I can't come up with their name at the moment, who did show some correlation with nitrogen. But Vibrio numbers jump around so much, they vary tremendously. So to try to draw a correlation between nitrogen impact and potential public health correlation there, that doesn't exist. We're nowhere near there. There's so little that's known about the ecology of both of these Vibrios, Perihemolyticus and Bolognificus, that to try to draw some kind of correlation like that, you couldn't do it right now. I don't think you can really see the difference in numbers in oysters. You may, but we don't know what an effective dose is even at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they vary by an order of 1,000 in oysters that are from, you know, the same area, maybe the size of this top right here. So to try to draw that kind of correlation is, I don't know, if, you know, this way in the future, I think.
Okay. Thank you, though.
Any further questions? Dr. Kronenberg's, this second case puts Virginia now in a group of states, but with the exception of Florida, Virginia's the only East Coast state that has experienced this, correct?
That's correct.
All of the Gulf states are members of this club now.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And they have how many cases down there in a given year? Virginia's had 2 in the last 6 years. What do we see in the Gulf?
It varies from state to state. Louisiana has a large number, maybe around 15. Again, numbers are varying so much. Florida, maybe.
They'll have that number in a year, correct? So
they have 10 times as many as us.
So in that respect, I guess you could say Virginia is better off to some degree. But considering the millions of meals that people have of oysters, it's all those numbers are really low, actually.
They're very low. Yes, they are very low. And the general thought is the more oysters a state or a company produces, the more likely they are to have a Vibrio bulbificus illness. They're in all of our oysters. We don't know if all our oysters are infected or not, but
one of my many concerns with this is if Virginia doesn't act appropriately, that all of our competitors up and down the Atlantic coast will begin to use this against us.
Yes.
This becomes a huge marketing issue. So I think it does mean we've got to act rather responsibly, not just because of the market, but we're also talking about human health here. Mr. Schick?
Now, the person that got sick from it, they were already sick when they ate it, which made them weak to begin with. So if they had been healthy, chances are they might not have contracted a problem.
That's right. Some apparently healthy people have gotten sick. But
usually some weakness that's due to health. And
Now,
this also could occur if the wholesaler had kept it in a non-refrigerated state.
That's true.
So it could have been fine from Virginia, but when it got to the Delaware wholesaler or to the restaurant, it can occur down the chain. But they did inspections on those different spots and found that that they were okay. Or
yeah, there was no yes, there was no reason to suspect that they were temperature abused at either place, and it unfortunately doesn't enter into the equation. It can be temperature abused down the road, and the producing state is still
labeled with it, right?
Labeled with it, yes.
Mr. Fox?
Is the disease less prevalent if the oyster has been shucked, or particularly shucked and then cooked?
Yes. Yes, they are killed. They are susceptible to heat. I believe that there have been a case or two due to shucked or to shucked and cooked. I'm not positive about that, but I know that viral illness comes from shucked and fried oysters, but virus is a little more, norovirus is a little more heat resistant.
Any further questions? Thank you for joining us today. I hope you'll be able to be here next month for the public hearing.
We'll probably be here in force.
Great. we'll see you then.
And just from things that came up in that little conversation, the flip side of the fact that we need to act for to show other states, it's also a marketing plus for our industry to be doing this much proactively. Yes. And it's a good for them to be marketing to the things that we are proposing to do. So it works both ways.
Yeah.
And that's why the industry has been – we've actually had two meetings, one on the Western Shore, one on the Eastern Shore. It was well attended to show them the summary of these proposed changes, and they were, you know, for as many people as were there listening to what we had to do, there was really not that much negative comments, because they know the only other option is a post-harvest treatment, the processing that nobody can afford. So, you know, what we'll show you is, I mean, the shellfish sanitation has run models for the different air temperatures and water temperatures to determine how long you have from the time you start harvesting until they got to be on ice. And that's the biggest change here at the get-go is the fact that we've got to shorten these periods of exposure from what we had before. Last year, if you look at this table, last year from May it was 11, and in September it was 12, which was about like it is. But from June, July, and August, we had till 10. So we've had to cut an hour off in June, 2 hours off in July, and an hour and a half off in August. So that's the biggest change that is impacting a person if they just go out and harvest with no ice or anything, that they just direct harvest. We also allow, I'll show this a little bit later, but we also allow people to use a GPS where they can get a permit from us, have a GPS tracker, and instead of starting at sunrise, they get the same amount of time period going any time. If they want to, say, go out a second time in a day and get some more oysters, and this is where it shows up, and these three warmest months, you get a very short period. And these are very restrictive and will definitely impact people. But what we've done to counteract that is that last year we tightened our description of how you would ice orchards, and we had our experimental area was in the James River. And by putting in the regulation that they had to be covered by a single layer of ice at all times, that worked well law enforcement, and so we're adding this regulation now that this will be, you'll be able to use icing bay-wide. You'll be able to use that no matter where you are on all the trips, seaside, as long as you have a Department of Health approved container, you put your oysters in it, and you keep them covered with a layer of ice. That way they don't have to worry about the curfew. They can keep working with iced oysters. The second thing that we're proposing, specifically for the shucking industry, because of the question you just asked on if you cook them, it relieves, it lowers the bacterial amounts from from the Vibrios. Other states have had a green harvesting tag for a number of years, and that's where instead of the white tag that we use now where you stay with the curfew or use ice, we're adding this restricted use shelf stock tag as an option for Virginia. And these tags are different from the generic tags that any other all the other watermen get or the harvesters get, because they are sequentially numbered, and they'll have to come to VMRC, they'll come to the Conservation Replenishment Office and get them from us, and we will record the lot that they get. And the only ones that will be able to get this tag will be the shuckers, and then they give them out to their harvesters, and if they go out and catch shell stock just for shucking, they got till noon, and they can't be commingled, and they're tagged with a green tag. And what we're doing that's a little bit more protective than other states is that other states like Louisiana allow these green tag oysters to be shipped interstate. Our green tag oysters will stay in the state. You'll not be able to send them out. They can't be commingled. They got to be shucked right here. So it's much more safe use of that green tag. And that's really the long and the short of the changes, but they are significant. And just to remind you again, all the other things that we do, in order to use that icing, you got to get your permit from the shelter sanitation. You got to get your ice container for the trucks permitted from shelter sanitation. And just there's other times, but we also allow this GPS unit that's not changing. For if you want to go move seed orchard in the wild, we have a bulk seed permit that you come and get from us. We've just extended the James River seed season. So those fellows that are harvesters that are working in the James River will have to come to us, get a bulk seed permit to move those orchards because they got a mixture of large orchards in them. It means that once they get that permit, they can't touch those orchards for at least 30 days. And then for the aquaculturist, we have a husbandry permit that they get from us that allows them to work on their orchards and aquaculture all day long, whenever it suits them, so they can get them ready, they can work the small orchards, so that when they have time that they need market orchards, they'll be segregated and they'll be back in the water in places that they can stay within the time limits. All the shading stays the same that we do, and these are all things that we're doing to prevent these illnesses, get them to refrigeration in an hour if you're maximum when you go in the truck. And we do allow, by code, them to go an hour before sunrise from June 15th to August 31st. If you recall, last meeting we were supposed to have had a public hearing on shelter tags, but since this item came up, where we want to add these green tags, we held off, and so we'll be re-advertising that green tag. So that'll be a public hearing on that also at the next meeting. But we're also using our shellfish tags. Our normal shellfish tags are going to have a time that they start harvest and the time of landing on them so that they can fit into their HACCP rules so that we meet that ISSC requirement. And then adding the green tag. So that's basically what we're proposing to advertise this month with the public hearing next month on both those two, the warm water restrictions in 12:30 and the tagging restrictions, the new tagging changes for 12:50.
Questions of Dr. Wesson?
I have one general question.
Mr. Tank.
How long have we really been in the business, the state and its oystermen have been harvesting summer oysters? Something that seems not new but not old.
Well, they've been doing it right along, but obviously What's changed is in the past 3 or 4 years, our harvest has really gone up. Aquaculture has caught on. The summer harvest of aquaculture orchards is some of their best marketing time.
Right.
Because you don't have, you know, when you market in the wintertime, you're competing with a Gulf oyster in a public fishery. In the summer, aquaculture orchards are pretty much it. And the little bit that comes off our private grounds here. I mean, there's not as many choices for the restaurant, so they get a better price. They get their best prices in the summer, barring the Thanksgiving and Christmas rush that they have. But it's a very good marketing time. So a lot of the aquaculture guys have geared their production to summer production and count on that for a big part. But now that we're up to 250,000 bushels or so, it's just, as Bob said, it's we're going to have cases just because we're handling more oysters. And they have relaxed a little bit now so that what we're allowed 3 cases a year for 100,000 plates or servings. So, you know,
varies a little bit.
But it's we were trying to keep out of that club, but now that we're in the club, it's 3 per 100,000 servings, and that should, with these restrictions, we hope that we'll be well under that.
If you exceed that, what happens? Then you go to the post-harvest processing? Or?
Well, then your plan is not
your plan's not working.
Okay, so you got to come up with something different.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Palmer?
How does this pertain to clams?
Clams.
How does this pertain to clams?
The clams, only the part that's affecting them has not changed. It's just the shading, getting to market within an hour. It's still not regulation, but has not made any changes for them.
Right, so I know there was some concern within the aquaculture industry of clams regarding this. Okay.
Yeah.
Jim, how well were the two meetings attended by industry?
How well?
How well were they attended?
Very well attended. Yeah, we had a nice group.
So this won't be a surprise to them.
40 or 50 people at both of them.
And Dr. Kruenenberg and his staff have seen this and signed off.
Yes.
Any further? Yeah, Mr. Plumlee?
I just had a question whether there were any health department regulations that were being submitted regarding handling at restaurants, anything along those lines to assist with the problem.
There are no new regulations. Everything that's in place should work. The temperature controls that already exist in restaurants.
I see. When do they need for further regulation?
Right. This is to get them, the whole purpose here is to get them under refrigeration very quickly. And not have them be out of water very long before they're under refrigeration. Those two things. Those are the key points here. The rest of the chain functions. It should function.
Thank you.
Matters before the commission. I guess this is a request for public hearing. Let me just simply ask, is there any objection to moving forward with the proposals?
No, sir.
Seeing none, the matter is approved for public hearing. Thank you, Tim.